This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Hello, and thanks for listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. I'm Rachel Zimmerman. Hope everyone is having an amazing day out there. It's been a beautiful week the past week. We've had some great weather, hoping that continues. But as we head into summertime in St. Louis, I fear the humidity is coming for us. But just try to enjoy the nice stuff while we have it, right? I'm really excited about today's show. I'm going to talk to Rebecca Wu. She is the public affairs officer for the FBI's St. Louis division. She is a really, really great person. I've known her for several years now. And you may know her because she used to be on KSDK. She was an anchor and she kind of transitioned and went to work for the FBI. So we'll talk to her about, you know, that process of going from an amazing career in television news to now an amazing career in the FBI. So that'll be a fun interview to tune into. I'm also going to talk to Celeste Grayer. She is with the Del Mar Boulevard Juneteenth celebration happening next Saturday, June 15th. We'll tell you all about it, but it looks like it's going to be a really fun event. But I'll just let you know right now, if you want to learn more about that, you can go to visittheloop.com/events to learn more about their Juneteenth celebration. Don't have much time in this first segment here, but I did want to mention that Pat Sajak retired this week after 41 seasons and 8,010 episodes on Wheel of Fortune. That is really incredible. Now, I'm not the biggest Wheel person. I guess I did watch it a lot growing up, but now as an adult, I'm more of a Jeopardy gal. But, I mean, you got to respect someone who has held on for 41 seasons, does such an amazing job. When you do watch Pat Sajak work, it's like he's just, when I say it seems like he's phoning it in, I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just he's such a pro and he's done it for so long that it's like he doesn't even really need to think about it anymore. And congratulations to him. He's actually the Guinness World Record holder for the longest host on the same show. So that's very cool. Another TV thing I wanted to bring up. This is incredible because I am a big Mr. Rogers Neighborhood fan. I grew up a fan because my mom loved it when she was a little girl, and so she really encouraged me to watch it. And I just loved, you know, how soft and gentle Mr. Rogers was. But soon you'll be able to enjoy Mr. Rogers Neighborhood 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's because the free streaming service Pluto TV is launching a Mr. Rogers Neighborhood channel sometime this month. And it aired from 1968 to 2001, so there are plenty of episodes to fill the time. 912 episodes, including his specials, to be exact. So that's exciting. If you ever are, like, you know, babysitting or even if, you know, the kids need something to watch, that's a nice wholesome program to put on. Or maybe you're having a rough day and you need some wisdom from Mr. Rogers. I am certainly not above watching that as an adult. Lessons that serve us throughout our entire lives. So, all right, guys, I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Rebecca Wu. It's the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Actually, before I let you go, wanted to remind you guys, if you miss any part of today's show, you can always podcast the show on the Odyssey app or anywhere else you get your podcasts. Okay, Rebecca Wu is up next on the Rachel Zimmerman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
All right. Thanks for listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. My guest's name is Rebecca Wu. I'm so excited to have you here, Rebecca. She is the public affairs officer for the FBI, the St. Louis division.
Rachel, thank you so much. I am so excited to be here. This will be fun.
So you're with the FBI now, but I'm sure a lot of people listening know you from your time in the media. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's been a while. It will be coming up on 15 months this July that I've been at the FBI.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But before that, I was at KSDK for 5.5 years. But in total, in terms of being in television news, it was about 15 years.
Wow. So what made you... Well, first of all, let's talk about like what you wanted to do as a kid. Was that your goal, was to be in media and to be on the news?
You know, actually, when I was in college, actually growing up, I thought I was going to med school.
Okay.
So I went through the pre-med courses in college. And then when it was time to take organic chemistry, people who've taken organic chemistry knows the textbook is so thick and so boring to me. not to other people, but to me. And I was wise enough to know that I'm not smart enough to be able to pass organic chemistry. So all of a sudden, my junior year in college, I was like, I don't know what to do. And as fate would have it, we had the I was at Berkeley at the time, and there was a recruiter from one of the local, I forgot what affiliate, but a local TV news station came to our campus mm-hmm. to recruit for interns. And I said, oh, that's interesting. So I said, maybe I'll go. I was a rhetoric major. For people who don't know what rhetoric, it's the art of persuasion, but people always tease me, oh, you got to BS and BS. But so I went there and I was like, that sounds interesting. I said, rhetoric is my major. Why not? A lot of my friends in that major went to law school. So I thought, well, maybe I want to go to law school. So I decided I'm going to do two internships, one with the TV news station and one at the law firm. So when I met the intern coordinator at the TV news station, he says, Rebecca, I told him what I wanted to do. He goes, Rebecca, don't go into TV news, go into law. I was like, didn't you just come to our campus to recruit us? And you're telling me not to do this. I was really confused. And then when I met with a lawyer to try to do an internship with him, and I told him the same thing. And guess what he said to me?
Don't go into law.
Yes. He says, Rebecca, don't go into law, go into TV news. And I was like, what? Really confused. Fast forward. Now I know why they said what they said, because in every profession has its ups and downs. And on those bad days, you want to be able to say, but there's nothing else I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so when I did on the first day of the TV news station internship, I loved it. They said I caught the bug.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even do the law internship. I just went ahead and stuck with TV news. And sure enough, I really enjoyed my time during those 15 years.
Yeah. Getting bit by the bug is a real thing. I didn't think that I would go into radio, but I kind of got placed into it when I went to college. And it was immediately just like, oh, I love this. Mm-hmm. I had no idea I would love this, but this is just, you know, what's happening now. Let's talk a little bit about the fact that, first of all, I don't believe for a second that you wouldn't have passed organic chemistry. I'm sure you would have. But aren't you glad that you had that realization while you were a junior in college instead of continuing down that path?
Absolutely. And that's what I tell our interns, or I tell my kids or any young people. I said, you want to make sure it doesn't matter what you do, as long as you love it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now at the FBI, I love my position at the FBI. I love being able to use my past news experience to help the FBI. I never say TGIF anymore. And you know, it's not unique at the FBI. The turnover rate at the FBI is 1.7%.
Wow.
Compared to companies that are 18%. And that's according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics.
Wow, so that's amazing. So let's talk a little bit more about how did you end up at KSDK?
So before KSDK, I was in Portland, Oregon, a TV station there. And then I was back on the East Coast in Jacksonville, Florida. And then I was back on the West Coast in Santa Maria, California. But my first TV news job was in Hong Kong.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was a new cable operation that was launching. They had a 24-hour Chinese news channel. And because Hong Kong was still a British territory at the time, they were required to have English news.
Okay.
And so I told everybody I wanted to work in Hong Kong. And one of the general managers at a TV station told me, say, hey, there's your opportunity. And so I ended up working there for a year.
That's so cool.
It was really neat. Before I left, everybody said, wow, that's a huge step. And I said, it's like going to Chinatown. What's the big deal? I was actually born in Hong Kong.
Okay.
But my family immigrated when I was 5 years old.
Okay.
So I thought, oh, that'd be kind of cool to go and find my roots.
Yeah.
And enjoyed it tremendously during the first 6 months. And then the culture shock hit me 6 months later, and I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And I stuck it out for a year because being it was my first news job, I knew I would never get hired if I quit.
Mm.
So I stuck it out for a year, and I flew out of Hong Kong the very next day. Back to the U.S.
That's really interesting with the culture shock. I could see it being like for the first 6 months, like, this is quaint. And then it's like, oh, no, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
Yeah, it was you know, Hong Kong is one of those cities where, because it's very crowded,
mm-hmm.
Great place to visit, really neat, but it's hard if you're not used to it, living and working there. It might be similar to if you're used to your lifestyle here in St. Louis, moving to New York. I mean, I've never lived in New York, so I can't say, but I could see that being that same where it's crowded, you live in small quarters, and it was, you hardly had any personal space in Hong Kong because there's so many people. The average residence is about 500 square feet. Everybody lived in high rises.
Wow.
And that's why nobody stays indoors because it's so small. Everybody's out in the street and you rarely have any personal space just because it's everybody's on public transportation. You're mushed together like sardines all the time.
So you came back to the United States. You landed at KSDK. How did the transition go from working there to ending up at the FBI?
Yeah. So actually, when I came back to the U.S., my job was in Santa Maria, then Jacksonville, then Portland, then St. Louis.
Okay.
But so it was during the time of the recession when I was at KSDK, and anybody who was hiring was news. We wanted to let people know who was hiring. And so I had heard that the FBI was doing a hiring blitz. So I called the FBI and say, hey, can I come over and interview about your hiring blitz? And the person who was me, mm-hmm. you know, me now, said, sorry, but the boss is in a meeting. You know, can you do it tomorrow? And I said, no, thank you. I'll just say that the FBI is hiring, but I was going to go and interview the Census Bureau. They were in town to do temporary hires. And then I had found out the CIA was hiring. So I was going to email them and ask them for information. So I did the interview at the Census Bureau and I got a call from the FBI, and the assistant special agent in charge said, hey, I'm available if you still want to come over. I said, perfect timing. So I went to do the interview, and at the end, I was just making small talk with him because my cameraman still needed to take video of us talking. And I just said, hey, you have a need for a reporter? And he said, yes.
Hmm.
But I really wasn't interested. I was, you know, well into my news career. I was, you know, climbing the ladder up to maybe a bigger city. And but I left him my business card with my cell phone because I thought to myself, if they really want me, they'll call me. So when we left, my photographer said to me, are you stupid? And I said, what was that for? And he said, the door just opened up and you didn't even look in it. And I said, why would I want to look in it? And he said, people kill for a federal government job. And I said, why? Because I didn't know, because all I did was news. And then he explained, you know, the benefits and stuff. But I still wasn't interested. So the next day, the head of FBI St. Louis called me. And all I remembered him saying was he identified himself. And he says, are you still interested? And at that time, I thought he was asking if I was still interested in going to interview him. A lot of people don't know that when it comes to daily news, if you can't do it that day, we just move on to another story. So I said, thank you, but I did the story yesterday. And he said, no, are you interested in the job? And I said, oh. And I remember what my photographer said, sure, I'll come and talk, thinking that I was just going to talk and learn about what the position was. So we scheduled time. I went, talked to him, still was not interested. And right before I left, after our meeting was over, I saw a photo of his two young boys on his desk. And I said, when your boys grow up, would you want them to join the FBI? And he said, absolutely. And it was so emphatic. I was like, wow, it must be good. Because parents I've met don't necessarily want their children to follow in their footsteps more often than not. So I thought, wow, that is really interesting. And that just changed it for me. Because I will tell you, I've been trying to recruit my kids to join the FBI. I love it so much. And so here I am. And the funny thing was, you know, after I got hired, the head of the FBI St. Louis, we talked about this. And he goes, during the interview, you couldn't have been less interested. And I said, I didn't realize it was an interview. Right. So that kind of played in my favor. I wasn't nervous or anything. But absolutely so appreciate the opportunity and that the FBI trusted me enough to hire me.
I'm talking with Rebecca Wu on the Rachel Zimmerman Show. You know, that's also a really interesting anecdote because you went from, you know, trying out these internships and both of these people like, don't do this, don't do this. And then you go to the FBI. It's like, yeah, do this. This is going to be awesome. I could see like why that would make such an impact on you. That's really cool. So let's talk about your position now. What exactly does a public affairs officer do for the FBI and what's your typical day like?
Yeah. So as a public affairs officer, I do two jobs for FBI St. Louis. I am the point of contact for the news media. But I also coordinate community outreach for our office. So that means going out, meeting with community groups and explaining to them what we do in the FBI to help them understand the process so that they can trust us to and also to know to come to us if they are a victim of a federal crime. Because a lot of people don't know. People still don't know what we do in the FBI. So they wouldn't know to contact us if they are a victim of a federal crime.
Okay.
So so in both positions, the goal is the same, is to help people understand the process, what we do in the FBI, so victims will know to contact us.
When we come back, part two of my interview with Rebecca Wu on The Rachel Zimmerman Show. Speaking of, you know, interacting with the media, how has that been in the past few years? I could see it becoming a lot more difficult because there seems like there's been a concentrated effort to kind of make us lose faith in our institutions. Has that been harder to, I mean, let me back up. Has it been harder to communicate with media outlets, or do you feel that resistance may be coming from the general public?
I will tell you that, and when it comes to working with our local reporters here, that is not the situation. Local reporters and local news operations, from what I see, still try to be fair and impartial and just report the news. So I don't see it at the local level.
Okay.
I don't deal with cable news, so I don't have that experience.
Oh, that's really good to know about our local. I've had that experience, too, just speaking to local news personalities and journalists about what they do. Like, it just does seem to be so important to them. Like, we are going to be as fair as possible. Then the narrative tells you, like, no, everyone has their bias. Everyone has their slant. And I'm sure everyone does. But ultimately, these are good people trying to do good work.
Exactly. And I will tell you, when I was at KSDK, I will tell you, it was the best TV news station I've worked in my 15-year news career. And I'm not talking about rankings, whether they're number one or not. I'm talking about they were a responsible news organization. During my time there, every day in that newsroom, it was drilled into our heads to seek the truth and here's the most important part, and minimize the harm. Mm-hmm. So when you follow that North Star, that guiding principle, and it's actually a guiding principle of the Poynter Institute. And for listeners who aren't familiar with the Poynter Institute, it is a journalism school and a research organization. And they will tell you that they're the gold standard in professional development of journalists. So that if you follow that guiding principle of seek the truth and minimize the harm, you will make responsible decisions in your news decisions, in what you decide to cover and how you cover and how you present it. And so looking back, I'm just so proud of my time there. And I will always appreciate the news director at the time, the operations manager, the executive producer. They always talked about ethics. I can even give you two examples. I still remember to this day. It was a child. It was a toddler, maybe in a car seat in the back, and the car got stolen.
Oh.
Because it was left running or something. And of course, the alerts, you know, all came out. Everybody was keeping an eye out for the car and for the child. And so all morning, we had been putting out the child's picture. And then when the police said, child is safe, unharmed, and then we reported that. And the news director said, do not show that child's picture again. And at the time, I was like, huh? We've been showing this child's picture all morning. So it's not like we haven't been showing it. And the news director said, I understand, but we don't have to keep ringing the bell. And then I understood that. Mm-hmm. Because he's a victim, right? There's no purpose to show his photo again because he's been found. And then another example, I'm trying to think how to explain this example without triggering. It was a horrific accident on the interstate, and I was assigned to go cover it. And I'm not going to be specific, but the news director found out what it looked like out there where the accident happened. And he told my photographer, called us and said, if you're going to shoot any video, you make sure you shoot it so far away that you cannot see anything. And again, I was like, well, but what about all the other drivers who are driving by and seeing this? And then what he helped me realize was the only people that matter is the family and the friends of that victim. Mm-hmm. They don't need to see what we saw. Right. And so looking back on those two examples and others, it just makes me so proud that because of their leadership and their responsibleness, they helped me to make the right decision. So I can look back and be proud that we didn't cause more harm.
Yeah.
And it's the same way at the FBI. I mean, our number one priority at the FBI is to bring justice to victims and to protect victims. That's our number one priority. That's our North Star.
I'm talking with Rebecca Wu from the FBI. She's also, you also may know her from her previous career on KSDK. Rebecca, whenever you are dealing with the media and dealing with the public, how do you balance confidentiality when it comes to a case with the public's right to know what's going on?
Yeah, it is a balance, that is for sure. So the FBI, we are under the U.S. Department of Justice, and the U.S. Department of Justice has a policy that says it says that we don't confirm or deny the existence of an investigation. And the reason for that is because if, let's say, a news station calls me and says, hey, we got a tip that you're investigating so-and-so. Now, if the FBI confirms that before anybody gets charged, we've just ruined that person's reputation. Because in the end, during our investigation, we may find that there was not enough evidence to support that allegation. So in those cases, the public would never find out we've investigated so-and-so to preserve that person's reputation. But also, again, I talked about how our ultimate goal is to bring justice to victims. And if we are accused in court that we tainted a potential jury pool, I mean, then our case gets thrown out, you know, not based on the merit of the case, but because we tainted the jury pool. Mm-hmm. So that in that sense, we would then have failed that victim, to bring justice to that victim. So it is in the FBI, it's again drilled into us that it's also very much need to know in the FBI. If you don't have a need to know, you're not going to know, even in the FBI. So for me, if I don't have a need to know about this case and this case, it doesn't come to me. Mm-hmm. I don't seek it out and it doesn't come to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I only need to know when a reporter asks me. Then I have to figure out what's going on and then help try to figure out what information we can provide.
Very interesting. How has technology and particularly like social media, cell phones, influenced the FBI's approach to public affairs? Are you ever like, oh, this is getting out sooner than I wanted it to or anything like that?
No, I think it's always the case because reporters get tips. Mm-hmm. So that's always been the case, whether it was through social media or not. So it's always been the same. And that's why we have that policy. It's easy when a reporter calls me. And even though I don't even know about the case, I don't even know whether we're investigating or not. But if they're asking me if we're investigating and that person hasn't been charged, I just automatically say we don't confirm or deny.
Gotcha. How do you handle fake news and misinformation? Does that make your job challenging? And what's the most effective way to combat that?
Yeah. And it's because people are vulnerable to fake news, misinformation, disinformation. It's because they don't understand the process. And that's why the FBI does community outreach as well. Right. Once we explain to people the process, you see it in them that the light bulb goes on. They're like, oh, that explains that. And so when they don't understand the process, they hear the allegations, the misinformation, disinformation. It does make them vulnerable to believing it.
Let's see here. Whenever you did make the switch from, I mean, you're still in media. But just in a different role.
Yes.
Was it scary to kind of switch gears like that?
It was only scary because I didn't know anything about the FBI.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I knew about the FBI was that it stood for Federal Bureau of Investigation. Right. Even as a reporter during my 15 years, we rarely covered the FBI. And that was because for TV news, because in federal court, cameras are not allowed. So that already discourages TV news, because in TV news, you need video. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to cover something without video, unless it's a very high profile case in federal court. Then we have to hire artists to draw pictures. And so as when I was a local reporter, I rarely interacted with the FBI. And it's when I was in Jacksonville, Santa Maria, Portland, I didn't even know we had FBI offices there as a reporter. It was only until I came to St. Louis, the FBI office here held a news conference because they had recovered some art and they wanted to. I just remember it was some stolen art and they were giving it back to whomever. And I went to cover and I was like, oh, we have an FBI office here. So, yeah, I didn't know anything about the FBI. And that was because before 9/11, the FBI was very low profile because we didn't want people to know we were investigating, right? That only hampers our ability to investigate if it's in the news. But after 9/11, the FBI had to be much more public facing because we were now not just reacting to crime, we had to prevent a terrorist attack. And in order to do that, to be able to successfully do that, we needed the public's help. We needed their eyes and ears to call us when they know of something suspicious so that we can prevent an attack before it happens.
Rebecca, this has been such a great conversation, and I really appreciate you coming by. What's something about the FBI you wish the average person knew? Because we're talking now about how you had very little idea of what was going on before you got this job. Like, what is it that frustrates you? Or if you could impart any sort of wisdom to my listening audience, what would it be about the FBI?
I think what surprised me when I went to the FBI was how limited we can talk about cases. And now I understand why. It's because we don't want to, because we don't want to taint a potential jury pool, because not only the FBI's responsibility is to bring criminals to justice, we're also responsible to ensure that a defendant has the right to a fair trial. So the first time you will ever hear about an FBI investigation is when a person is charged. Mm-hmm. We could have been investigating for years. And the reason why our investigations take years is because we try to take down an entire criminal enterprise and not just pick off one or two suspects here and there. So it takes a long time to be able to take down an entire enterprise. So even though it's been years since we've been working on investigation, the first time it's ever made public is when somebody has been charged. Now, the only exception is if we're looking for a bank robbery suspect and we need the public's help, that's the exception. We can say, hey, we need your help to identify this person, or we're looking for this unknown subject who committed this crime. Those are the only times we can talk about, yes, we have an investigation, but we need the public's help. So because we're so limited in what we can say, again, people don't understand what we do and why we do, and they're susceptible to accusations. So, for example, this was not a case at FBI St. Louis, but it was another case where the FBI basically, we fall on the sword because we cannot talk about our investigations. So somebody might make accusations about the FBI, and we just fall on the sword because, again, our ultimate goal is to bring justice to victims. And so in this one case, an agent went to go interview a suspect, and the suspect, this was not made public at the time, the suspect actually pulled out a knife and attacked the agent. So the agent, in turn, shot and killed the suspect. But the only thing that was made public by that was made public, again, the FBI didn't say anything because we can't, because mm-hmm. this was still an investigation. It was claimed that the FBI killed the person. The person didn't do anything. It was unprovoked.
Okay.
Right. So we didn't say anything because we couldn't. And because we knew in the end the truth would come out. But of course, by that, it was too late. It was big news at the time. But when we finally were able to say what had happened, it was just a blip on the news. Mm-hmm. So that is challenging to not to be able to say it. But again, since our North Star is to bring justice to victims, we fall on the sword. And what I would like to ask the public to do is the next time they hear about an accusation or an allegation against the FBI, just pause and think about, would that allegation stand in court? That might help you to decipher between, is that true or not true?
Mm-hmm. What would you say to people who are listening now who are interested in either getting involved with the FBI or just want to learn more about what we've talked about today?
Yeah. Well, the FBI, our website has a wealth of information, FBI.gov. They can, especially if they want to learn about what types of federal crimes we investigate, that's a great place to go to learn about the different federal crimes.
Well, Rebecca Wu, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for joining me
here. And actually, if I can just plug one more,
yeah.
People who are interested in joining the FBI, FBIjobs.gov. It's actually linked on our FBI.gov website as well. But that's where you can see all our openings across the country. We're also in, I believe it's 76 countries around the world. So FBIjobs.gov.
Very cool. Rebecca Wu, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rachel. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Coming up, we have Juneteenth this month, officially known as Juneteenth National Independence Day. Of course, it commemorates the ending of slavery in the United States. And Celeste Grayer is with me now to talk about an event coming up in St. Louis next Saturday, June 15th. It's the Del Mar Boulevard Juneteenth celebration. Celeste, thanks so much for taking the time to join me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So how did you get involved with the Juneteenth celebration on Del Mar Boulevard?
So I got involved probably about, this is year four. So it's really true. Somebody says your name in a room and then I get a phone call or I get an email. So that's exactly what happened. I'm fortunately connected to many of our community partners and community elders that work in the African Center community. So that is how I got involved. And then here we are 4 years later with an amazing cultural experience to share with the community and businesses in the Del Mar Loop.
Yeah. So what are your hopes for the event this year?
Our hopes for me is to continue to expand and continue to educate. Again, like you said, it just became a federal holiday a couple of years ago. And so I want to continue to expand that knowledge about it and continue to grow as a community. Because, again, it's not something that really is talked about too much. Again, expanding that knowledge and that growth of the culture behind it as we continue to build a bigger and better community for everyone.
What do you suggest for people who are listening who are like, okay, I've heard of Juneteenth, but I don't really know what's going on? What kind of resources would you point them to so they could become more informed?
I think definitely, again, you know, taking your time to, you know, Google is also a great thing. But
right.
Again, speaking to people in the community that know about it. Again, we have a rich community of African-centered people here. Taking that time to go to different events and speaking to the elders, definitely about it. But definitely taking the time to really research it and to ask questions of people who are aware of that. I think that's really important to do. With anything, with any piece of the culture that you're talking about. Again, it's just taking the time to educate yourself.
Yeah, and then attending an event like this is also
yes.
a great start, too. So again, this is happening on June 15th, and it is going to be a packed day. So it starts off with a 5K race, right?
Absolutely. So we're starting at 8:30 with a 5K race that ends about 10 o'clock, about 10 o'clock to 11:30-ish with the award ceremony. And with in conjunction of that, we're having a vendor fair that day as well, too. So people can be able to come and purchase, spend some time, hang out along with the race. And then after that, we're going to have a celebration, an evening jam session, I call it, with the Red and Black Brass Band, the African Dancing of Spirit of Angela, of a drumming, Baba Kanama opening up our drum call. So we are having a full day of connection, community, and culture.
And is this a free event open to the public?
Absolutely. I try to do my best to make sure that everything is free. Again, with educating and enjoying culture and life, I try to make sure that people are able to attend. And it's not something that, you know, we withhold or have somebody to purchase. So this is, again, a big thing for the community to be open to everybody of any culture and any dynamic to come and enjoy. Friendly, absolutely.
So we still have a week until the event. So if people want to get involved, whether they want to attend or maybe they're a vendor, if they can squeak in at the last minute, how would people do that?
You could definitely go on the website, Delmar Loop website, and then attach yourself to that. Definitely can get involved with that or send an email to Delmar Loop. And then Jessica will definitely get back to you. She is the event coordinator for that project, but definitely get in touch with us. We can definitely be, if anybody wants to help volunteer as well, too. That day is pretty long. It's going to be a great day full of excitement. If anybody wants to help and volunteer at any point of the day, that'll be another way for you to connect.
It's the Delmar Boulevard Juneteenth celebration, happening June 15th. That's next Saturday. You can go to visittheloop.com/events to learn more. Celeste, thank you so much for coming on the Rachel Zimmerman Show.
Thank you.
And good luck with the event.
Thanks. Hope to see everybody there.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening this week. I will talk to you again next week, and I hope you have an amazing weekend. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card. They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.